All right, so start with the Sugya. Last Sugya in Titus 2, Lechem Mishnah. So we have our Gemara. There's three statements. We'll talk about the order of those statements because it's going to affect how you learn the Sugya. So, right, first we have... Rabbi Abba was saying, "V'shavas chayv adam livso al shteki karos lechem mishnah k'siv." Fine. Then in our Gemara, and this was also in the Gemara in Shabbos, we have Rav Ashi says, "Sinei le Rav Kahana, the nagatarti batzachada." Right? He held both and caught one. The Gemara in Shabbos adds because it says "laktu k'siv," that they collected two, but it didn't say they ate two. So they collected two, fine. So you have to have possession of both, but you only need to cut one. And then Rabbi Zera says he would eat kula shirusa, or basa kula shirusa. They cut the whole shirusa, whatever that means. Ravina says to Ravashi, "What do you mean? Isn't that a very ravenous action?" So she responds, "No, since he doesn't do this the whole day, since he doesn't do this every day, it's clear that this is just special for Shabbos, and it's not a ravenous thing." So the way Rashi learns it is that the first two Memras are dealing with Lechem Mishnah. And the third Memra, Rabbi Zera, is a totally different point, just the issue of Derech Eretz. Are you allowed to... I mean, it's still talking about Shabbos, but are you able to eat a giant, you know, like a wedding challah, like one of these big, super big challahs? And is that considered appropriate? To which Ravina, you know, claims it's not. And Ravashi says, no, it's clear because only... something he's doing for Shabbos, that's fine. And the Rambam seems to learn this way as well. It's just that you're allowed to use a very large loaf on Shabbos and eat it more than you normally would because it's clear that you're doing it for Shabbos, as long as you don't do this normally. But the Rashba and the Ritva seem to learn differently because they think that Rabbi Zera is actually dealing with Lechem Mishnah specifically, not just a Derech Eretz point that happens to come up on Shabbos. That Lechem Mishnah is that Kula Sheirusa means that he would cut up and then, you know, subsequently eat all the multiple, you know, many loaves in front of him. To which Ravina says, is that not a ravenous action? And Ravashi responds, no, that's justified because it's clear that he's doing it for Kavod / Oneg Shabbos. So what's interesting is, right, if you look closely in the words of the Ritzvah and the Rashba, it seems like they have a different order of the Gemara, that Rabbi Zera came after Rabbi Abba's original statement about Lechem Mishnah, and is then sandwiched, pun intended, by Rav Ashi's statement in the name of Kahana, or that he saw Rav Kahana, about not Tarti Batzachada. So it's very clear why they would be induced to learn this, you know, Gemara is dealing with Lechem Mishnah, in as much as the, you know, it's stuck right between two statements which are explicitly about Lechem Mishnah. Whereas for Rashi and the Rambam, who don't have this order of the Gemara, so Rabbi Zera's the third statement, it could be about Lechem Mishnah. They could have learned it like Lechem Mishnah. Obviously, it's not like the reason why they couldn't have, but there's definitely not a hechrech to do so. So, and in the approach of the Rashi and the Ritzvah, there's just two interesting points to add. That the line of Rav Kahana being Batzachada is, you know, in Rashi is just like saying, okay, fine, luck to say if you don't have to do the second loaf. But now this is specifically a response to the concern of Mechzik Ravanusa. That while even though Ravashi did exclaim that there is no problem of Mechzik Ravanusa, inasmuch as you're only doing this on Shabbos, cutting up all the loaves in front of you is only a problem if you do it generally, but if you do it only for Shabbos, it's clear that you're just having a reboy, which is a din in Kavod Shabbos. But perhaps Rav Ashi also adds that, yeah, Taka Rav Kahana was concerned for this problem of Mixic Ravanusa, and therefore only, even though he liked this idea of having a lot of loaves in front of him, or, you know, at least two, some sort of multiplicity, but nevertheless, he only cut one because he didn't want to seem so ravenous, even though it was clear that he was only doing that for Shabbos. So, and it really plays out la'alacha, or at least la'alacha in the Rashba, but that the Rashba concludes that one can either act like Rav Kahana and cut only one loaf, or act like Rav Zera and cut everything in front of him. So, perhaps because both positions are cited by Rav Ashi, it was clear to the Rashba that both are justified. Really, right, meaning this concern is expressed by Ravina. Rav Ashi either says, no, it's not a concern, or he says, but you should, maybe it is Rav Kana was concerned, you should only cut one. So he only cut one. So therefore, but inasmuch as both of them are coming from the same source of Rav Ashi, there seems to be on equal footing. And finally, with the Rambam, which is interesting, the Rambam brings us in both in Hilchos Shavas and in Hilchos Brachos. There's a slight difference. Hilchos Brachos, he writes, he mentions the point of Rav Kana that you only cut one loaf. Well, on Shavas, he simply says to be botzeya on two loaves. So, given our idea that having multiple loaves is part of the kavod of Shavas, so that makes a lot of sense why the Rambam does put this din in. Meaning it makes sense that he'd be willing to double down, even though it's usually so concise, but he'd be willing to double down and put the din of having multiple loaves in Hilchos Shavas, because it really is a din of Kavod Shavas. Well, whereas the Betzia is really only germane to Hilchos Brachos, particularly in the context of the Rambam contrasting only cutting one here with the juxtaposition that he creates between the Gemara also juxtaposes Meniach Prutza Betzoch Shlema Posei Mishtayan. There, the Rambam is saying to cut both. So perhaps he wants to particularly emphasize here that in the context of the commission, you only need to cut one. But nevertheless, that's whether it's stemming from Rav Arusa, seemingly not from the Rambam because he sounds more like Rashi. But either way, because of this issue of how many you need to be Botzeya, then that's really much more germane to Hilchos Brachos, and therefore the Rambam only adds that detail of the Betzia in the world of Brachos. Fine. Okay, so let's move back to 3. Zara the Sigya, top of Menem Aleph. Tol Barach. Right, so we have a three-way machlokas amarayim as to what types of statements are justified between making a bracha and eating. Each opinion more expansive than the last. So, so Rashi, right? He cites the issue that's involved here as hefsek. That the problem would be that if you talk between making the bracha and eating, that's considered an interruption, right, or some sort of break. So they're hard to find. I think interruption is fair for hefsek.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, but right. So whereas Tosos uses the term hezek al das, he also uses hefsek, but we'll explain what really the where the smoking gun is. So right, there's two interrelated issues here, whether the ability to talk or lack thereof has to be related to the bracha or the achila, and whether the issue at hand is hefsek or hezek hadas. So, a little complicated, but I think how it played out is Rebbe thought that if you say that the issue is tzarech bracha, that you can only speak about the bracha, so then you're only allowed to speak about the bracha. So that has to be rooted in the concept of hefsek. Because speaking about things that pertain to the meal that does not take your das away from the food. That's exactly what you're talking about. But it could say that the only way that something's not an interruption for between the food, the bracha and the bite on which it's chal is a comment that's related specifically to that bracha. Whereas sarach achila, right, that could be related to hefsek. Again, like I just said, you could think that the issue at hand is being masik between the bracha and the bite, and just our getter for that is, as long as you're talking about the meal, that's what the bracha is related to. But that could also relate to a hesek hadas issue, that as long as you're talking about the meal, you haven't jumped your mind away from that meal. And in reverse direction, if you talk about Hesach HaDas, so Rebbe thought that Hesach HaDas could only be qualified as Tzarech Achila. Because if you say that that the issue at hand is about, you know, losing track of the meal and moving your mind away, so then it doesn't make sense why that would only be related to comments that are germane to the bracha. But the corollary being that with hefsek, right, it could go either way. That with, if you talk about hefsek, so then the getter for hefsek could be tzarech bracha, as we said before, or it could also be tzarech achila. So, right, essentially, if you chart it out, it works out that like, like really the only meaning, the only arrow that kind of where there's meat in the middle is tzarech achila and hefsek, but from tzarech bracha and hesach hadas, those are unique. So once Rashi mentions tzarech bracha, and once Tosfos mentions hesach hadas, so then it seemingly emerges that Rashi's issue is hefsek, which he also says that works out very nicely. Tosfos is a little more complicated because he mentions both hesach and hesach hadas, but once he includes hesach hadas in there, it should come out that he needs to learn the issue as tzarech, or not the issue, the getter for what you're allowed to discuss is tzarech achila, which notably is somewhat difficult for the first opinion in the Gemara of Rav, that you're only allowed to say, you're only allowed to say Tol Baruch, you're not allowed to say Havimel Chaviliftan. It's hard to understand why Havimel Chaviliftan would not be considered tzarech of the meal. Tzarech of the meal. Fine. So seemingly, right, there's a big difference. So why does Tosos have to... So it's interesting now. Right, so okay, fine. So we see that we charted out Tosos, Hesach HaDas, Rashi Hefsek. But why? Why do I have to come on to each of these things? So why does Tosos have to, and specifically Tosos, why does Tosos have to jump from Hesach HaDas and say, no, the only thing that's relevant is, or why does he have to jump to Hesach HaDas and not involve Hefsek? Even though it is a Hefsek if you talk between the bracha and the food. That's not, you know, at the very least, Tzarech Achila. So where does that jump come from? So this is where we came up to the Shiras Nasan, which is very interesting. So, right, Shiras Nasan points to Gemara and Psachim, which cites an opinion that each participant in the Seder needs to have matzah and maror in front of him. Tosfos there explains that this is meant to enable everyone to eat immediately due to the chova, which Rebbe thought meant that there's a birkas on mitzvah, and charoses is lumped into the maror. But in right, I mean, that over there is a birkas mitzvah. That's the chova. But Tosfos says, but in general, with birkas hananin, there really is no need to eat immediately, which is a fascinating thing. It sounds like Tosfos has no din of takeoff from yad that you have to eat immediately after making a bracha by birkas hananin. So, which would explain the lack of hefsek. Which, it's a fascinating thing. It's really like, you know, not what we're normally assuming, but it seems pretty clear that's what the Tosfos in Psachim is taking for granted and explaining why this has only been an issue of matzah mar and Davka rooting it in Birkas HaMitzah. So this also, Shir Nassim gets into this, relates to the shitas of Rabbi Yonah and the Rush. And an issue that Tosfos also discusses, and we'll come back to. So, the Rinyon and the Rush expand our Gemara to someone performing Shechita, being allowed to speak about Shechita between each animal because it's relevant to is a relevant comment to the mitzvah. So, why do these Rishonim omit the case of talking before slaughtering the animal? And Tosfos is also doing it this way, as his example revolves around asking for more animals to slaughter. So, right, and this is in contrast to the Meiri and the Rambam, who think that even before the first Shechita, we see from our Sugya that as long as you're talking about the Shechita, That's sufficient. But why did the other Rishonim jump to between different animals as opposed to just talking about in before the before the first animal, like before the first bite in our sugya? So it sounds like if with the Shiras Nelson saying that if only Birkas HaMitzvos have this issue of Tikkaf Miyad, i.e. Hefsek, so they cannot be extrapolated from our Gemara in regards to talking before the first mitzvah, action. Because only Birkas HaNenin, according to the Tosos and Rosh and Vinyona, I mean, we'll ask Rosh and Vinyona in a second, but at least for Tosos and the Rosh, they only have an issue of Hesek Hadas. So that can be extrapolated from our Gemara to when you're already started performing a mitzvah, and the bracha's been chal on the first mitzvah, but you want that bracha to apply to more mitzvahs, that you can't change, you can't divert your mind from that mitzvah. But you can extrapolate to before the first mitzvah, where there's an issue of hesek, like matzah and maror in the Gemara Pesachim, which also explains over there. So that's why these are shown to only extrapolate to between multiple animals. And seemingly the source for their distinction between Birkas HaMitzvos and Birkas HaNenin is that Gemara Pesachim itself. The one issue is that Rabbeinu Yonah does, in our sugya, seem to learn that the getter of what you're allowed to say, it's Sarach Bracha, which we saw jump to an issue of Hefsek. Therefore, it's hard to say that he really doesn't have an issue of Hefsek by Birkas HaNenin. And, you know, once we see that you are allowed to be Mastik, at least if you're Sarach Bracha, so then it's hard to understand why he wouldn't also extrapolate from our sugya to a case of speaking about the shechita before the first, animal is slaughtered, which also would seemingly be tzarech brach. Okay, fine. So, next sugya is Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Okay. So we had two parallel. We had our Gemara, which cites the Mishnah. The Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bereminate d'shayim." And in our Gemara, the way we have the gear says that Rabbi Zeira says Allah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, and also roots him in this pasuk of Baruch Hashem Yom, that you need to, just like we make specific mention of different Yamim Tovim for each time in Tefillah, so too with each different species we need to have a particular bracha, a particular formulation of what we're, blessing God for. Okay. In Sukkah, the same Gemara comes up with, or the same context of Baruch Hashem Yom comes up in a different, in regards to Birkas HaMitzvos, where the Chachamim hold there that if you have multiple mitzvos in front of you, you say Allah Mitzvos, you make one Birkas Mitzvah Allah Mitzvos, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you give each one, their normal proper bracha, because of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, their Rebbe Zeira does paskid like Rebbe Yehuda. So, right, we have two interesting things. So it sounds like this Machlokas Chacham Rebbe Yehuda, whether or not we have a concept of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, and we have different psalkim between Rebbe Zeira, both times Rebbe Zeira, one time here it's Ein Halacha Rebbe Yehuda, and over there it's, in Sukkah, it's Halacha Rebbe Yehuda. So we have, there's a few interesting things, the way it plays out, because right, on the one hand, it sounds like, according to our Chachamim, that we know you're saying a Bur Pri Adama. So there is some sort of purity, in as much as they're not just saying, you say a Shehakol on everything. Just like the Chachamim Sukkah doesn't sound like they're saying that you make an Allah Mitzos. There's no such thing as a Birkas Mitzos, except just like Allah Mitzos. If you have one Mitzah in front of you, you'd make the proper bracha for it, and you would think, and it seems like in brachos, you're also specifying, you're not just saying shakal and everything. So, what really is the Chachamim's relationship to Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, in as much as, there still is some purity in Birkas HaNenin, and in Birkas HaMitzvos, it seems like if there's only one mitzvah in front of you, you would make the most particular bracha. So, you could say that in Birkas HaNenin, at least, that the Chachamim really don't hold a Baruch Hashem Yom Yom at all, and they just hold up a special relationship between pure, corresponding to the chashivas of the food. That everybody would agree that if something is more chashav, it that generates a more specific bracha. And then you'd say that v'ripir adamim v'ripir zerayim or dishayim, all three of those categories are of equal chashivas. They don't get none merits something more specific than the other. And and by Birkas, right, and that's all in the world of Birkas and Nandan. So, whereas Rabbi Yehuda thinks, no, yeah, you're right, it's not about Chashivas, it's about, there's an inherent value of specificity, and therefore he would distinguish into multiple categories. So that's one possibility for the Chachamim in Birkas and Nandan, why you wouldn't say a Shahakal and everything. But we still are going to have to understand why that would also be true in Birkas and Mitzvos. So, when you have one individual mitzvah. And in answering these questions, it's also notable to look at a different machlokes Rishonim explaining why we pasken, like why Rabbi Zera pasken like Rabbi Yehuda in one place, in Sukkah, and like a Chum in Brachos, right? So there we have the Michtam versus the Ramban. So the Michtam in Sukkah explains that the reason why we'd hold like Rabbi Yehuda in Sukkah is because each mitzvah is different and it's valuable to specify. Whereas in Brachos, the Chachamim, we can go like the Chachamim in as much as all Hana at the end of the day is basically the same. You're getting satiety, you're getting taste, it's not so different from one another. And therefore there's no need for Brachashem Yom Yom. You make the Bracha on the Hana, the Brachas on the Hana, and therefore No, it's all really the same. So there's not such a value of specificity. Whereas the Ramban, first of all, he's a different girsa, which is his preference, that there's only, that really the halacha in both places is like Rabbi Yehuda, and, that would kind of end the story. But he notes that, he doesn't say it's our girsa, he says the girsa is gonim. Whatever, he notes that there's this girsa, a popular girsa going around. I think I looked back, I think when no one ever learning this, we looked at Halki Karsinan. I can't remember though. What Tav is it again? Mamun Aleph. I think there were some like Halki Karsinan.
Being interesting. I also took a look when we first did this thing, but I don't remember what came up.
In. One just skips it. Just goes to the reason. But, and there's some halach. Yeah, there's a few of them that say halach Rabbi Yehuda, and a lot of them just say they don't say halach or ain halach. They just say my time, which is kind of a support. So yeah, there's definitely the Ramban gear stuff is definitely floating around. So, but in explaining the Gris Kodim, which again, this even though the saying halacha Rabbi Yehuda was the Ramban's preference, it's still like working with what we have that where the Ramban gets into it, that's what's going to be more interesting or germane to us. But the Ramban says that you could say that by by our Gemara and Brachos. So saying Baruch Pri Adama is a satisfaction, that is a fulfillment of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. In Sukkah, the Chacham over there, they deny Baruch Hashem Yom Yom completely. They don't have Baruch Hashem Yom Yom at all. That's why they're going to say Al HaMitzos. The Chacham in Brachos, they do have Baruch Hashem Yom Yom to a certain extent. They just think all Baruch Pri Adama satisfies that. So, right, and then it would come out just that we wouldn't have to say what we said before, the Chachamim, that pure stems from Chashivas. It really stems from Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. And even though it didn't sound like from the Gemara, the Chachamim passing that way, but that's how it emerged, and that's very helpful for the Bahag, who does link it to Baruch Shem Yom, who links Pirat to Baruch Shem Yom Yom. But still, for the Chachamim in Sukkah, it's fascinating in that you would imagine that if you still had one specific bracha, they would make the particular, one specific mitzvah, you would make that, you wouldn't make an all mitzvahs, right? You'd make, and certainly if you had multiple foods in front of you, it's hard to imagine they would say you make a shahakal and everything. That's against the Mefurash Mishnah, how you find a minim harbe. So, it's seemingly preferable to say that they really would make the particular bracha. So, but how's that going to play out? How are the Chachamim, if they really don't have bracha mimim at all, how are they going to hold, you know, how are they going to explain why there would be brachas in one particular instance? And you could ask further that, that, before that, right. Meaning, so, right. If the Chachamim Sukkah really don't have that at all, so how would they get, you know, would they really have no specificity of bracha? So then you might have to say that there's more reason to apply Baruch Hashem Yom Yom by Berachas Nedarim, by Berachas Mitzvos, right? The opposite svara of the Mechtam, right? The Mechtam is saying that Hana Achas, we don't really need a Baruch Hashem Yom Yom in Berachas Nedarim, but for the Ramban, at least for the Chachamim Sukkah, it could play out the opposite, that, right, you would not have Baruch Hashem Yom Yom at all in Berachas Mitzvos, but you would in Berachas Nedarim, maybe because Hana is more of a human category, whereas Mitzvos, like, too ethereal to be categorized. That's some possibility. We don't necessarily need that. We're not necessarily going to maintain that, because we still have to explain why the Chachamim in Sukkah would have, when you have one mitzvah in front of you, why they would have a Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, you know, why they would say to do the specific bracha. And so too, right, in brachas, why would they, you know, why would the Chachamim say a Brit Priya Dama? So we already said for the Ramban that a Brit Priya Dama satisfies Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. But it's still a question for him, because if really the Chachamim and Brachos agree with Rehuda, this Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, so seemingly the Machlok is just botanical. What is the lowest level of, you know, specificity? Is Rahim and Deshaim a different category than Adama, Priya Adama? So if that's true, so what really is their Machlokas? And why is their Machlokas rooted in Baruch Hashem Yom Yom? You have to say that their Machlokas in botanical categorization really does stem from a difference in Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, even if they both have it. Clearly, Rabbi Yehuda's Baruch Hashem Yom Yom is more robust, and that itself drives the need or the desire to have more particular categories. Whereas the Chachamim are satisfied with their more limited Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, and, you know, think that that creates some purity, but that they stop at Brit Priya Adama, right? Whereas in Sukkah, what's the issue? The issue involved in Sukkah is, you know, making the case over there is very different. It's whether or not, when we have this clash in values between specificity and making multiple brachos, so then there, Rabbi Huda says, yeah, the value specificity is so strong that even overcomes our reticence to make multiple brachos if we don't necessarily have to. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, that hesitation, that value of not making multiple brachos is too strong. And even though there is a limited form of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, and to the extent that you will say, you know, the particular bracha on a mitzvah, if there was only one mitzvah in front of you, that doesn't generate, that doesn't go so far as to allow you to say multiple brachos just to manifest the value of specificity. And for the Ramban, that's really, that ends up being how he explains the difference between the two, even the psak and the difference between the two sugyas. That, right, meaning, that's exactly what we're saying. We're saying that we do accept Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, and Bar Pira Dama satisfies that. But it doesn't necessarily take us all the way to the extent that it'll justify making multiple brachos. And that is the explanation of the different psakim, that we're saying that we're going to accept, we really do want to accept Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Therefore, but And therefore, in Sukkah, we accept Rabbi Yehuda that you can make multiple brachos. But inasmuch as in brachos, Baruch Adama does satisfy Baruch Hamayom, albeit a limited conception of that principle, therefore, we can still pass like the Chachamim because and not contradict Sukkah, because we are maintaining Baruch Shem Yom Yom to a certain extent. And the Michtam, we can say a similar idea, that we are working with, right, that there's really these two different modes of Baruch Shem Yom Yom, how particular you're going to be in a given categorization, and also whether or not you're willing to make more brachos. But because the Chachamim don't sound like the Ramban saying that they are accepting Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, so instead of saying that they do and Baruch Hashem satisfies that, he would rather say that, yeah, the Machlokas is Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, whether or not you, in Sukkah, that's whether or not you'll make more brachos, and there we pass in, like, Rabbi Yehuda. And in Sukkah, it's how specific do you need to be? And there we pass in like the Chachamim. Now, instead of saying that the reason is that it satisfies Baruch Hashem Yom, instead he's saying that no, the Hana Achas Svara is a reason to deny Baruch Hashem Yom Yom by Baruch Sinanin. Right? That's the main difference. The Michtam is different from the Ramban in the sense that his Hana idea explains why the Chachamim deny Baruch Hashem Yom Yom by Baruch Sinanin. While the Ramban understands that they think Bripri Ha'etza Dama satisfy Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. The Michtam doesn't want to accept only one application of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, so he explains that the Svar of Hana Achas is a reason to hold like the Chachamim Brachos, meaning deny Baruch Hashem Yom Yom by Baruch Sinanin, but also Rabbi Yehuda and Sukkah, meaning accept it by Berachos HaMitzvah. So they're not so far apart from each other at the end of the day. They still have this two-pronged understanding of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, how specific are you going to categorize things and whether you're not going to make more brachos. The Ramban takes that split itself and uses it to explain the Gersos HaGaonim for the different psakim, why you would paskin like the Chachamim in brachos, but not in Sukkah. Whereas the Michtam is not comfortable going so far, even if though he has that seemingly has those two steps, but rather would say that in Baruch Hashem, then there's less svara to have Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, in as much as everything is all one Hana. Now, obviously, he still has some pure, as in like Bripri Adama, Bripri Eitz. So it could either come from, I didn't see this in the notes, I'm not sure. I think it could either come from a very limited Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, which would also maybe explain, which I think is actually more likely, because that would explain the Chachamim in Sukkah agreeing that if you have one mitzvah in front of you, you still need to make a particular bracha. Or you could say it comes from Chashivus, like we said before, in the Chachamim. And the problem is, I'm not sure where that would leave you in Sukkah, how you could have, why the Chachamim would agree that if you only have one bracha in front of you, you need to make that particular bracha, unless we say, I guess because the Michtam is saying, I guess if you went with that second approach, you could say that in as much as the Michtam, right, just like the Michtam is saying to explain Rabbi Zera and Split in Halacha, that you have, that you only, that it makes more sense to apply Birchasa, that more sense to apply, what's it called? Baruch Hashem Yom Yom to Birchasa Mitzos than Birchasa Nenin, maybe that's not just true in Rabbi Zera, that's true in the Chachamim also. The Chachamim except Baruch Hashem Yom Yom to a limited extent in Sukkah to make a particular Birchas HaMitzvah if you only have one in front of you, but not to overcome the problem of Rivoy Brachos. Whereas, and then also in Brachos, whereas in Brachos, the Svar of Hana Achas means they don't have Baruch Hashem Yom Yom at all, and then you'd have to chalk up Purit to Chashivas. Yeah, you're going to say?
I'm just wondering why, once we've gotten here, why do we need the Michtam to have the second factor of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom? Meaning once you've already said that the Chachamim don't hold of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom at all when it comes to how specific we are, then why would the other factor? I guess it's a question. Once we don't say the Chachamim hold of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, then why do we need there to be two factors? What's driving us to say two factors?
You're saying, meaning if we really were saying that the Chachamim don't have Baruch Hashem Yom Yom at all, so then you would just say the Machlokas is, meaning if you say, right, meaning if Bar Pri Adama comes from Pur, but Bar Pri Deshayim and Zerayim come from Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, so then No, because you're supposed to explain in Sukkah. I mean, it still manifests differently in Sukkah, because the case there is.
Right, it manifests differently. Right, but then you could still say the Chacham would say if you're okay getting away with all the mitzvos, because they don't hold in Baruch Hashem Yom Yom.
But then how would you explain how they, why if you have one mitzvah in front of you?
Right, I mean, then all the mitzvos, you can say that's too general of a bracha. If I just have one mitzvah, I might as well, I'm going to have to change the nusach of all the mitzvahs anyway, because I only have one mitzvah. So we change it to say, either say all the mitzvah or say, like, is there an inyan to davka not, once I'm not saying all the mitzvahs?
You're saying specificity within one mitzvah. It's not necessarily like a reflection that you hold by Baruch Hashem Yom Yom.
Right, because all mitzvahs was just not accurate. There's only one mitzvah here.
But you can say they don't have Baruch Hashem Yom Yom at all. Right, I think what we're saying is Yoda the Indian main brachos of Pesukah and Ina Mamshke main brachos of Pesukah. Right, all we're saying really is that they're.
No, their applications aren't identical.
Yeah, their applications are not identical. But instead of saying that this is the reason to pass like Rabbi Huda as opposed to Chachamim, he's saying that no, that's just because it sounds like our Chachamim don't have main brachos at all. He's saying that he just comes up with the reason why it's more likely to hold by main brachos of by Ahana than. Sorry, why it's less likely to hold by main brachos. By Bahayana than mitzvos. That's where Rabbi Zera comes out with his psak. But right at the end of the day, we're not really saying. Right, all we're saying is that there's two different issues of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. But the Chachamim don't have Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Right, that's what we're saying. We're saying Chachamim don't have Baruch Hashem Yom Yom at all. They don't have Baruch Hashem Yom Yom at all. So where do the specifics come from? So you could say that it's not, all of it's not accurate. So the specific bracha, so you make the specific bracha. So the bracha that wouldn't exist otherwise, like, I'm still having a hard time accepting that jump if you don't say that they have a little bit of bracha Hashem Yom Yom. You're saying it's inaccurate to say all of it's, so that's why they have to have particulars for there. And by B'Pri Adama, B'Pri Eitz, you'd have to say that's, because there you can't say it's inaccurate to say Shekhov Yivaro. Right. You have to say that's come from Chashivas.
Also, when you talk about a pre, is but something more specific than that, even. Well, yeah, that's a whole separate thing, but like, the pre is also singular.
I think the Chachamim, they don't have. Chachamim don't have any brachos by Berachos Hanan at all. So then it comes from
here. Why should all mitzvahs be inaccurate? Now that I'm thinking it over again.
Yeah.
If you're saying, I'll show you something 7 to 1 all mitzvahs, like, yeah, but
it's true.
And one of the reflections is that I'm doing a mitzvah now. You're not necessarily suggesting with all mitzvahs that you're doing multiple mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. You're just saying that you are commanded about multiple mitzvahs, which is always going to be true.
Yeah, I think it's better to say that they have a more limited form of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, which allows you to say specific brachos on different mitzvahs, but not at the expense of Riboy brachos. And in brachos, the way it plays out is that because of the Svar of Hana Achas, so then you don't even have that distinction of saying specific brachas, and then you have to chalk it up to chashivas.
Even when I have one bracha,
even if you have one, no reason to say Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, it has to come down to chashivas. I think that's how it should come out. But I don't know if I don't think it was clear enough at the end there in the mechtam. Right, finally, right, we have a later machlokas about. In Berachos of Shavach, Chachamim say that on Yom Gadol you say Osemash Breishis, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says you make the specific bracha. Shulchan Aruch does hold like Rabbi Yehuda that you say Hashas as Yom Gadol, and the Gra roots this in Baruch Hashem Yom Yom in Jesus Rabbi Yehuda. So what's interesting is that for the Ramban, there's a difference between Berachos and Berachos of Mitzvos. and has a different psakim between Baruch Hashem Yom having it or not is a product of whether or not the case is a rivoy brachos or specific categorization. So clearly, you know, saying how specific you are when you mention the avogadol, that's in the brachos anandin category, and it would not make sense to pass it in the Rebbe Yehuda. At least for the Gersa Zagonim, for the Ramban himself, then it's not a question because we always pass it in the Rebbe Yehuda. Whereas for the Michtam, the difference is, you know, that by Hana, there's like a unique svar of Hana Achas to make it that you don't apply Baruch Shem Yom. The standard means that yes, apply Baruch Shem Yom, where things are different, and just like mitzvahs are different, it's logical to say that different sites, different wonders are different from one another, and therefore you really should make a specific bracha like Rabbi Yehuda. We'll just finish off with Birchah Peres Ilan Birpri Adama. Right, so the Mishnah says if you say Birpri Adama on Peres Ilan, you're Yotzei. When you say Birpri Eitz on Peres Adama, you're not Yotzei. So in our Gemara says that this Mishnah works like Rabbi Yehuda, who says Yavash Shemayim next to Ilan, you can still be maybe Bikurim because he's saying that Iker Ilan Arahu, really the main part of the tree is the ground, and it's justified to call a tree a Pri Adama. But the Yerushalmi right recites this opinion, but also has another opinion that really the Mishnah is Divrei Hakol, because Peres Ilan are trees, they're a subcategory of things that grow from the ground, but things that grow from the ground are a subcategory of trees. And the Rambam, right, he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. He paskins like our Mishnah that you do say that Birpri Adama is effective on Pri Eitz, but he also paskins like the Chamamim. So it goes to seemingly he's working with the Yerushalmi, as opposed to the Rosh, which paskins like the Rabbi Yehuda in Bikurim, based on our Stam Mishnah and our Gemara associating with Rabbi Yehuda. And seemingly the difference between these two, presentations or understandings, comes down to whether you view, right? Meaning, in the world of the Rabbi Yossi saying Divrei Hakol, right? That Peres Ilan are Bichlal Pri Adama. So it's not viewing it tree like having your tree identity is part and parcel of your. The opposite. Your ground identity is part and parcel of your tree identity. It's not like you have two identities. It's just that if you're a tree, you also come from the ground. And everybody agreed to that. That has nothing to do with what the ikar of a tree is. Let's see. Whereas for the Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak in the Bavli, and Rav Chizkiya in the Yerushalmi, lining up the Mishnah with the Rabbi Yehuda, seemingly what they're saying is that, right, Yerushalmi is explicit, the tree can be viewed near a concussion. It's like the tree is like an extension of the root, from the ground to the fruit, and that fruit is like as if it's growing right out of the ground. And that's that identity is a totally unique identity from its Brepri Eitz identity. That a fruit can either be related independently to the tree, or it can be independently related to the ground. And those are both justified depictions, but only in the world of Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks that the tree's the fruit's main sustenance comes from the ground as opposed to the tree. Right, again, the difference is whether or not the tree is considered to have part and parcel of its identity also come from the ground within one, depiction. Or no, there's two separate ways of looking at a tree looking at a fruit as coming from the ground or coming from the tree, and that's only true if you view that the nutrients are really coming from the ground.